Sairam, dear listeners, and welcome back to the studios of Radio Sai Prashanthi Nilayam, giving you a live broadcast every Thursday in the Asia stream of Radio Sai. As the proceedings in the Sai Kulwant Hall have ended just now, and the devotees are silently lined up to have a close glimpse, a close darshan of our sweet Lord, and as the devotees of the state of Sikkim have offered their humble pranams at Bhagwan's lotus feet through a beautiful drama by the youth, it's now time for us to get back to the studios to continue with the first segment of the evening session of this Thursday Live. And this is Team Radio Sai Ganesh inviting you all to yet another new episode of the Veda Jignasa program. But before that, we wish all the listeners world over, whoever is tuned to Radio Sai, and the devotees world over, who pay their humble obeisance, who express their love and gratitude to Swami, wish you all a happy and holy and prosperous and a healthy new year 2020. At this moment, at this juncture, we shall all collectively and humbly offer our love, our pranams, and most importantly, ourselves at His lotus feet, so that we can be better instruments. We can be best instruments in His divine hands. So, Radio Sai team presents to the entire world, to the entire fraternity of Sai devotees, a beautiful tune for Swami's 95th birthday. 2020 is the happening year of the glory of Bhagwan's avatarhood, Bhargav. So, all set for celebrating Swami's 95th birthday?
Yes. Very much ready.
So, all of us will collectively offer our humble pranams at Swami's lotus feet. And as Radio Sai is offering a beautiful signature, a beautiful tune to celebrate Swami's birthday, we shall first listen to that, and it's very much connected to our Veda Jignasa program.
Oh, beautiful.
And
yes.
I think it should drive home the point that this is indeed the best thing that we all can have as a prayer on Bhagwan's 95th birthday.
Yes.
So we shall listen to it. So, the essence of this Samastaloka Sukhino Bhavantu, this is what Swami has been telling us from the moment He took His avatarhood.
Yes.
That all universes be happy, happy and happy, and every being on this planet Earth, in this cosmos, be happy.
Mm.
And what else can be a better beginning for this new year than to start with a beautiful prayer like this, Bhargav?
Yes, very true.
So, this Samastaloka Sukhino Bhavantu is the thing that Indian culture has been offering to the Lord.
Yes.
So, the Indian culture emphasizes on everybody being happy, everybody being united. So, that's the most beautiful thing. And with this humble prayer and with a sincere prayer from our hearts that whatever we think, whatever we speak, whatever we do comes as His will, with that we shall go into today's Veda Jignasa.
Yeah, again, just to take some more liberty from you, like last time, whenever we go through a few verses and then when we try to go ahead, we get some new insights into the old verses.
So, exactly.
So we take the liberty with your permission, coming back a little bit and then trying to see what it is. So if you just go to the prayer which we have, Vratapatiye, Ganapatiye, Pramathapatiye.
Mm.
So if you just see the meaning of these three, it's very fascinating to know that Vrata, Gana and Pramatha, all three represent a group or a team or a force, a battalion, something related
to a collection.
A collection of something. So means Ganesha is someone who rules over a particular group, not a particular group, a homogeneous group or heterogeneous group of having all sorts of things under it. So we thought like this is really interesting.
So maybe Ganesha is the best manager
who
manages a conglomerate of people.
So many people. And then if you go into the details of what are these Ganas or the Pramatha Ganas, so you will find all sorts of creatures. You will have, one will have only one eye, one will have three hands, one will have an eye in the stomach, one will have two heads. There'll be goblins, ghosts,
all sorts of weird things.
All sorts of weird things will be there in those Ganas of Shiva. So if you just actually think that managing all of them and probably making them do a particular task for a particular goal is not a mean task
at all.
So
he's a perfect manager.
Like you cannot imagine how Ganesha manages so many types of different beings. And just to give an example, just a couple of 2-3 examples from the Ganas. You'll also know, the listeners also will know that what actually they are. So there is one Gana by name Bringi.
Bringi.
It's a very interesting episode that Bringi is a very ardent devotee of Shiva. So what he'll do is he only wants to worship Shiva. No one else. So once what happens that Shiva gives darshan in the form of Ardhanarishvara. He gets angry. I want to see my Shiva. How can you get Shakti also with you? So what he'll do, he'll become a small bee. He'll go and try to bore through the body and make it half and worship only the Shiva part.
Yes.
So Shakti becomes very angry, upset. What is this? I'm also like, I'm mother. Then Shiva says, no, don't do this. You should worship both of us. So that is the tenacity and that's the type of devotion.
Audacity of a devotee.
Devotee which he has. And second, you know, Nandi. Nandi was supposed to be a Rakshasa. And then Shiva transforms him, tells, no, this is not the way. You should worship me with one-pointedness. So he comes back and, you know, he always
focuses on the Lord.
On the Lord. Always in the temple, you will see the Nandi always focused one-pointed on the Lord. And then you have the ferocious Virabhadra. So from his lock, he just hits the lock and Virabhadra comes. So what I'm trying to tell is that you have all sorts of beings which are there in Shivagana. So all these beings, controlling them is very difficult.
See, it's like something which we can relate to the entire universe where we have. See, the representation of the Gana family, Shiva's family, is the Shivaganas. The entire universe is
his family.
Is his family. So, he being the master of it and Ganesha being the leader of it, there is no wonder.
No, but if you actually look into this from the perspective of our lives, you see, there are so many people with so many different minds, so many different thoughts.
Mentalities,
so much of waywardness. Swami says monkey mind. Swami says monkey mind is not just not a monkey, it's a mad monkey.
Which is bitten by a scorpion.
Scorpion and
which
has
is drunk. Already drunk.
So imagine he's the one who is controlling all these types of beings. So that's the power of Ganesha. So what we are trying to tell is if you pray to that Ganesha, it's in a trice, he'll give you that steady mind. So, just a parallel, if you draw a parallel, I remember there is a beautiful episode in Ramayana where Rama will be ready to go to Lanka to wage the war. He'll be on about to start for his mission of building the bridge. So, there's a beautiful episode where he'll be sitting under a tree and they'll be just seeing around and he'll see these vanaras, and the description goes that one vanara is jumping on top of a tree, one vanara is pulling another vanara's tail. One vanara is jumping on his head. Like, he'll see all sorts of things around him. And then, I think it's in Valmiki Ramayana or Ramcharitmanas it comes that the author says that this Rama, who is seeing all these things and enjoying the waywardness of all these Vanaras, had achieved the task of making them disciplined, go and maybe make the
bridge,
go to Lanka and
fight Devar and then
destroy and come back. So it is like, if you pray to such a Lord, it is so easy for him to make you control your mind.
Even if you think little more deeply, even if your prayer works or not, his grace works. If he decides to tame your mind, and how much ever we decide, we put efforts, but when his grace, even a bit of it is there, then it happens in no time.
Yes.
We have seen umpteen number of times that with his grace, anything can be achieved.
Yes, true, very true. So, and this is one thing. Second thing is, again, one thing which was always, which has been repeating in these things is the color red. And if you noticed, before we had our Muladhara Chakra, where we said red color is there. And now the next verse, when we come to Ekadantam Chatur Hastam, we have Raktam Lambodaram Shurpakarnakam Raktavasasam Raktagandham Raktapushpa. Everything is
red.
So if you actually see, like, just to come back to what we had been discussing before, red is nothing but life. Red is nothing but energy. The zeal to start something new. That will come only when you have a good amount of energy within you.
Correct.
Just give an example. You say someone is anemic, means he's weak. His hemoglobin is low, means he doesn't have energy to do anything. He gets very easily tired. So that zeal to work, the zeal to achieve or accomplish a task is
driven by the color red.
Color red and probably the blood in our body. And when you say that he loves red color, he puts red colored chandan
garments or, and red color sandalwood paste,
and he loves red colored flower. Basically, probably it means that he is the one who's a go getter. Yes, come on, let's go and accomplish our work.
Actually,
like
in Hindu mythology, red signifies the color of shakti, and then it's also symbolic of purity.
Okay.
And then the one who wears dress of color red, it seems they are capable of destroying evil. They are like very brave, and they also are protective of others.
Okay.
And then this also symbolizes auspiciousness.
Okay.
That's why Swami very significantly he tells that every person should be aware of the three things: Kattu, Bottu and Juttu. The second one, the Kattu and Bottu, is the third one, which is the mark on your forehead. And we have the female folks, the Mahilas, wearing the vermilion on their forehead.
Yes.
I mean, Swami symbolizes that is the power of the Shakti.
Okay, the auspiciousness.
Auspiciousness. And then this is what the red color denotes.
Yes.
So then when we see Raktam Lambodharam Shurpakarnakam Raktavasasam Raktagandha Nuliptangam Raktapushpai Supujitam. Here
again, if you say Raktapushpai Supujitam, so again, one thing which strikes you is that Supujitam means a good worship. Something which is good, which is positive, which is elevating. And just probably we thought we'll just get little bit of Swami's interpretation into this. Swami says Pushpam is what? Pushpam is the heart. Sam patram pushpam phalam toyam. So he says Pushpam is nothing but the heart. So Rakta Pushpam, like we thought probably this is the That heart filled with energy, filled with spirituality, filled with
purity.
Purity and zeal to do something, achieve something which is positive, which is divine. That should be offered to him as puja, as worship.
Very good.
So that's one thing. And then one very interesting aspect of Gandham is something which if you apply on the skin,
it gives a very cool
and soothing effect to the body. So that means when you achieve a task like this, when you go on this path, it automatically give you a peace of mind, something which gives you a lot of tranquility.
Yes. Sereneness.
So, sereneness. Because Gandham is something which has that quality. So these are the two things I thought we will...
Bhargav, why the word supujitam is used? They could have as well used pujitam.
Yes, probably yes.
That supujitam, I remember of a very... When we are talking about Hridaya Pushpam being offered to Swami or to the Lord, Swami very importantly tells that the bhavam or the intention with which you pray, the feeling with which you offer something to the Lord is more important than what you are offering.
Yes.
As we see in the story of Bhakta Kannappa, even though he puts his leg on the Shivalingam to fix the eye of the Lord.
Lord, yeah.
The Lord is so merciful that he accepts whatever he does.
But he accepts because of the bhavam. Feeling.
And one beautiful incident I remember of, he is a very, very senior youth member. His name is Ramesh. He's from Vizag. He's a very, very good bhajan singer. He's from Visakhapatnam. He had the habit of praying to Swami after end of every day. He tells Swami, he sits before Swami's altar and he tells whatever he has done throughout the day. Hridaya mandir se mat jaavo. Hridaya mandir se mat jaavo. Hridaya mandir se mat jaavo. This is what the bhajan I don't remember immediately. Hridaya mandir se mat jaavo is the...
Don't go away from the heart.
Away from my heart. So then once he comes to Prashantiliyam, then Swami calls him for an interview. Then Swami beautifully, so lovingly, he tells, Vatra, you are keeping on telling... Hridaya mandir se mat jaavo, Hridaya mandir se mat jaavo.
Don't go away from the temple of my heart.
But how can I stay there? It is simply foul smelling, it is stinking. Then he is taken aback. Why is it that Swami is telling my heart is foul smelling? Then he tells all bad thoughts. Then he tells, see, if you keep such bad thoughts in your mind and you in your heart and you pray to me, how can I sit there? Then Bhrungi has the audacity to tell Lord Shiva and Parvati that, no, I want only Parameshwara. Ramesh brother tells Swami that, Swami, but it is your duty to sit in my heart. That is your place.
Yes.
Then Swami gives one beautiful analogy. Yeah, you tell that is my place. Then Swami gives this example. See, Chakravarti Ashoka, the entire kingdom is his. He has the right. He has the ownership of everything in the kingdom. He can as well sit anywhere instead of the throne. He can go, but he does not go and sit beside the drainage, right?
Yes.
He goes and sits only in the bedecked simhasan
throne,
there.
Yes.
So that is what I want. When your heart is pure, only when you fill it with pure thoughts, pure feelings, only then the Lord can sit in your heart. So pray for that.
Yes.
And start doing that.
Yeah, I remember. I'm reminded of one more incident, because when you told this supujitam, accepting, or how you offer, what type of worship you should do, because anyway this context has come. One of our students, he was very, very, he used to do extensive seva. Seva means he used to work a lot. Like he was a workaholic. He used to just do something or other, something which is very productive, something which is as an offering to Swami or something. But after some time, he had shared this with me that he got a thought that, see, I'm doing so much work. I'm doing so much of seva. I am doing so much of work. So Swami should be happy with me. This type of a thought started developing in him. So one day he gets a dream. It's a beautiful dream, very, very significant dream. He says that the setting is just outside the interview room near the bhajan hall. What happens, he's sitting there and Swami just suddenly opens the interview room door and comes out, and there will be a lot of these bags and some boxes and all will be lying around. Swami sees what is so much of things are lying around. So this boy promptly gets up, comes, tries to very, very fast, very, in a very speedy way.
Set right everything.
Just removing the the boxes, keeping them in one place, making them in order, putting a way for Swami. He was doing it very, very fast. Frantically he'll be doing.
Frantically.
So then Swami looks at him, smiles and says, it's very significant. He told this boy in Hindi, Kaam to bahut karte ho, lekin hriday abhi bhi maila hai. Means, you do a lot of work, but still the heart is impure. So he didn't understand that time. Then when he gets up, he realizes that whatever you do, you say that I am doing it for you. Swami, I am doing seva. I am doing this work. When you have that bhavam, it doesn't become supujitam. So when you actually want to make it a proper worship, you should, whenever you do a seva or something, you should not have the feeling that you are doing seva. You remember Swami used to send us a gram seva.
Exactly.
He had very specifically told us that whenever you go to every house, you should say Om Sri Satchidanandaya Namaha and offer
exactly
the prasadam and the clothes to the villagers. So when you actually see that, it actually means that what you're offering to the person in front of you is nothing but the Satchidananda Swarupa himself. So when you have that feeling, it automatically becomes supujitam, yes. Something which
everything gets sanctified.
Sanctified. So these are the thought, I think.
And Swami, do you remember Bhargava, once after the sports meet, during the Sankranti discourse prize distribution ceremony, Swami tells that he kept on telling, see why, how the children of this university are different from the others. Then Swami tells that, see every act, every event that is being done, is done only to the extent of pleasing the Lord.
Yes.
Yeah, every child's wish is that they should see a smile on Swami's face. And the very fact that our entire schedule of the hostel, entire working of the university, entire stay in Mandir, everything starts with a prayer and ends with a prayer. The entire, what do you call the essence, is that every act is associated with a prayer.
Yes.
So it automatically goes and reaches the Lord's feet.
Yes.
So with that feeling, if you do that supujitam, it becomes a befitting offering to the Lord. When you offer it with the feeling that, yes, this is an offering with love.
And
not
humility.
With the ego that I am doing.
Yes. And then when you do all this, then the last verse or last word of this mantram before the Phalashuddhi starts is Varadamurtaye Namaha. Means, the one who blesses me, you only are there, Namaha, not me. I am not existing at all. It is only you who exist. So finally that should come to that place where we should say, not me, Swami, it is only you. So once you reach that stage, then all grace, all love is yours.
Exactly. So last class we had done Namo Vratapataye, Namo
Ganapataye. Actually, we came back to the last class.
The last class. So we shall proceed to the next lines, but I think we are running out of time.
So, but you had a question, I think. Someone had asked a question. You told about, there was one question which was posed that like few of these mantras, are they added later? Because few of the mantras which come.
One very nice question. Here, Ekadantaya Vidmahe Vakratundaya Dhimahi, where the Ganesha's form is described as the one having a single tusk.
Yes.
Then the question goes like, was the Mahabharata composed
after? So it means Ganesha's, this Atharva Shirsham, you say that the Vedic mantras are very old, anadi there. So you mean to say that the mantras are composed after Mahabharata? So this is a very, very pertinent,
very pertinent question.
So just add to this question, there is one more verse in Narayan Upanishad, which says, Brahmanyo Devaki Putro Brahmanyo Madhusudanam. So Narayan Upanishad is telling that this Narayana is nothing but the son of Madhusudana, Brahmanyo Devaki Putra.
Devaki Putra.
So he is son of Devaki. So according to that means this was composed after the birth of Krishna. So this is one more question. So and one more verse which comes in Rudram is that when you actually go to the end of Ashtanuvaka, you get Namaste Astu Bhagavan Vishveshwaraya, that whole that doesn't sound fitting in the normal scheme of things in the first and second Anuvaka.
Mm.
So it seems this is again what we have gathered. We might be wrong. If you are wrong, you can please tell us about it.
Mm.
That there are something called as
Kila mantras.
Mm. So these are the mantras which were added later.
Mm.
So the actual Vedic mantras which were revealed to the sages were in their original form, but due to the context of something like Mahabharata or something like
this, they were added
later. Mm. So they are called Kila mantras. So probably this question which was posed by one of our questioners is that this mantra where Ekadanta is mentioned probably would have been a Kila mantra, which was added later.
The actual Gayatri of Ganesha is Tat Purushaya Vidmahe Vakratundaya Dhimahi Tanno Dante Prachodaya.
So probably the Ekadanta Vidmahe also would have been added later, because to might be highlight the beauty and the sacrifice of
Lord Ganesha.
So this might have been added later. Mm. So again, this is what we have gathered. If there is any other aspect to it, listeners, please let us know.
Mm.
And again, we say that whatever we are trying to do is we're trying to gather from whatever little effort and knowledge which we have. So if there is anything which is wrong or you feel that it can be interpreted in a better way, please let us
know. Give us your suggestions.
Yeah.
Bhargav, in the next class, next session, actually we'll be, till now, the Ganapati Atharvashisham we have been learning. Now the Falashruti is going to start.
Yeah.
Means what happens when we chant this Ganapati Atharvashisham.
Yeah, actually Fala means fruit, Shruti means hearing.
Maybe the listeners will be more interested in this.
Falashruti.
Because till previously we were talking about you should not even expect the fruit of what you are doing,
yes,
for what you are doing. And now we will be talking about the aspect of what you are, about the fruit.
About the fruit, what by mere listening what you will get.
Yes. So in the next session,
yes,
we shall be covering the Falashruti, where Yetatharva Sirshanyo Dhite Sabramha Boyaya Kalpate Sasarva Vignera Bhajyate. It goes on like that.
This, yes.
So maybe in the next session we'll be covering that. And with this, with a humble prayer that this offering becomes a befitting one at his lotus feet.
Yes.
And whatever we think, whatever we speak, whatever we do pleases him. We pray to Swami that he takes care. And before we close, once again we request all the listeners to keep sending your feedback, keep sending your ideas, so that Veda Jignasa becomes a better offering to our Lord,
yes,
in his 95th year, and we shall try to collectively offer this program at his lotus feet. Please do write in your feedback and your ideas to listener@radiosai.org or WhatsApp it to 9393258258. And once again, wishing you all a happy, holy, healthy, prosperous,
yeah,
and Veda Jignasa filled New Year.
Sai Ram.
Sai Ram. And on the other side, we have Brother Bishu with the Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. Sai Ram, stay tuned to Radio Sai Asia Stream.